Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks.
Just checking. All right. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me Lori Hammer. And among other things, you are a functional nutritional therapist, which I love. And your moniker is the Calm Mom, which I think is awesome. Mm-hmm. And you help moms overcome anxiety through practical and nutritional methods.
Yes.
And I love that. And I want to thank you so much, first and foremost, for joining me on this.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I want to talk to you, like, what brought you to this journey?
Oh, gosh. So if we go back a lot of years, I struggled with an eating disorder for a very, very long time. So that led me to make a long story short, that led me to a clinic, an outpatient clinic in Mill Valley, California, that my professor of psychiatric nursing found for me. Anyway, so it was an outpatient treatment center, and I found out that my brain was deficient. So my neurotransmitters were depleted, which is why I was anxious and depressed. And I had this eating disorder and I was cravings and all those kind of things. And so I found out, you know, what that was, found out I had celiac disease, thyroid issues, candida, adrenal stuff. So it kind of started my health journey because I had a really bad relationship with food. My background was my mom was always on Weight Watchers and all these different kinds of diets, low fat, no fat. It was, you know, late 80s, early 90s. So it was really messed up as far as food systems go. So anyway, so that led me into this, how do I heal myself, right? And so once my brain got balanced, then the traumas and everything that I was trying to deal with, I could actually deal with them because my brain was functioning. And so that took my health paradigm into a very fun place. And then when my youngest, who is now 17, when she was 5 months old, and my oldest was 8, I was diagnosed with a really rare cancer. And I honestly shouldn't be here. So I am very blessed. It'll be 17 years ago that I was radically and miraculously healed from cancer on March 25th. And then, you know, the Lord just opened up doors for me to see new practitioners and to take that paradigm even further. So then I went back to school because I'm like, I have to share this with the world because I was already doing brain balancing stuff, but I had to take it to a deeper level. Mm-hmm. And through that and, you know, challenges with, you know, my kids and those types of things with their health issues, you know, it just took my paradigm deeper. And that's why I do what I do. And I think every mom deserves to be calm. And I learned that if you can change the mom, you can change the way she views herself, the way she views her family, her behaviors, her thought patterns, and you can change the family. And if you change the family, you change society around the family. And then if you change society, you're changing the world. So it has such a ripple effect. So that's why my focus is always on moms, because we are the heart of the home. Yeah. We are beautiful human beings that we've been created to nurture and to love and to bring joy and to take that into our kids and our husbands and everyone around us.
That is so beautiful.
Thank you.
Because, like, really that self-care is, it's not taught in our world. But if we're not taking care of ourselves, we really can't take care of anybody else.
No. And I mean, I think as women, we've been taught to everybody else comes first. And this isn't a selfish thing that we're doing when we talk about self-care. It's just fixing your deficiencies so you're not running on empty all the time. You have to fill the car up in order for the car to run. You have to fill mom up in order for mom to be able to run and to do the things that, you know, we love to do for our families. So it's so important to take our health seriously. If it's okay, can I say something about my own mom at this point?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, please do.
So she was kind of like this medical experiment, really. She was one of the first Roux-en-Y's done in the country. And that's where they remove half your stomach and part of your intestines and at the Mayo Clinic. And she had numerous other things done. And while she tried, it was never in the forefront. And nobody ever thinks that, you know, bad things are going to happen to you. So she had all these medical issues. She was a very extreme case. And she didn't want to do a lot of the harder stuff holistically that needed to be done. Mm-hmm. And when she made that decision, I said, well, this is going to be bad in a year or two from now. And it was almost a year to the day that her dementia took a whole deep nosedive, right? And so we all think those things won't happen to us. Well, we got to die as something, right? Well, it doesn't always happen that way. Sometimes it leaves you and your family for years on end. You're dealing with a situation that you never wanted to be in, right? So it really affects everyone around you. And that's another reason why I'm so passionate about this, because if we fix the brain and we can get women to understand, like, it takes a lot of hard work and the men around them to understand, like, we really have to do this deep dive, because you know what? If something happens, you might not die from that. It might be a 2, 3, 8, 10 year long journey where it's just going to wreak havoc on your family. And there's so many things you can do to prevent things, right? You can't prevent everything, but there is so much, so much that you can prevent. And, you know, from dementia, from cancer, from anxiety, depression, to, you know, all these things, from taking hold of your life and affecting everyone around you.
I completely agree. I'm on that journey right now with my mom, who's got dementia. And there's also a willingness to want to change.
Yeah.
When I started doing body talk, I'm like, hey mom, I could help you with this. And she's like, no, that's just crazy stuff. I'm like, how about taking turmeric every day? You know, cause you've got pain. She's like, no, that's too much effort. I'd rather take my pills. I'm like, the turmeric's better for you.
Yeah.
But she was so used to the prescriptions that she couldn't hear that there were supplements that could actually help her better. And
right. And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, out of pocket expense. It takes time. You have to change your mindset. And sadly, some people aren't ready for that. But my goal is to educate and to encourage so that people do get ready to do that. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody to go through what I went through.
Yeah. I understand completely. And I'm really grateful that you're on that mission, because like anxiety, especially in our world today, it's so prevalent because there's so many different stimulators.
Yes.
And I haven't had a television since 2000. So I've been really blessed.
Yes.
And so I don't really know what's going on in pop culture. I really don't have a clue, but I know that because I'm sensitive, I can feel, like, I know politics are dividing. There's a lot of separation in the world. There's a lot of trying to manipulate people into belief systems that don't feel aligned, but they don't know how to feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting that message out to, like, just brain balancing, just period brain balancing. When you balance your brain, when you decalcify your third eye, you're going to feel so much more grounded in your body.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So how have you, like, in your life, seen the shifts? If you've taken on this journey and been led, how have you seen shifts in your beingness as you've just evolved?
Well, I mean, I've definitely grown as a woman, grown as a person during this whole time, and as a mom and a wife and everything. It's definitely taken my relationship with the Lord a lot deeper. A lot of surrender, you know, a lot of surrender that happens when you're on a journey like this, because, you know, I really shouldn't be alive. I mean, I almost killed myself with my eating disorder because I was in such bad condition. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, getting a cancer diagnosis with doesn't really have a cure except for some experimental, you know, therapies. It gives you a whole new perspective on life, right? Mm-hmm. Especially when you have kids and a husband involved, you know, at that time of the cancer diagnosis. I mean, it's different when you're single. It's like, okay, well, whatever happens, happens. But when you have family, you know, like, you're do anything to fight that, to overcome that, to make sure that just never happens again, right? Mm-hmm. So I've definitely grown a lot in that, grown a lot in my faith and in my boldness and in, you know, just in my daily walk. You know, I don't want to waste anything. I don't have time for a lot of trivial stuff. Sometimes people are like, I just haven't seen you forever. Well, I don't really have a lot of time to waste. This life is so short that I don't want to waste it on things that really don't have a lot of meaning. So I just kind of focus on my family and go from there.
That's beautiful. So what did you do in your cancer journey? What Was it nutrition? Was it how did that unfold for you? Because I'm just so curious because a lot of people are struggling with it right now, and I think it would be really helpful to talk about it.
Yeah,
So.
definitely. So I was the healthiest person I knew. Like the last thing that I expected was a cancer diagnosis. I mean, because I had already, come through an eating disorder. I knew how to eat well. I was, doing all the things that I thought were right. So for me to get a cancer diagnosis was everybody was shocked, because I lived a healthy lifestyle. Anyway, so when I got the cancer diagnosis, I remember going out to the car, and because I had had this growth on my leg after my daughter was born. It was just kind of odd. It was kind of looked like the end of a pencil eraser. And my mom's like, "Would you please go get that checked?" And I'm like, "It's fine. I'm putting all my stuff on it. It's fine. It's fine." She's like, "No, I don't think it's fine." So anyway, I ended up getting it checked, and they thought, "Oh, it's just, I don't know." They gave it a name, like post-pregnancy something or other, right? And like things just grow after you have a baby. I don't know, but that's what they said. So I went to get my stitches out, and they're like, "I can't believe I have to tell you this, but you have this really rare type of cancer that's growing on your leg. It's a level 4 out of 5, and it's probably in all your lymph nodes, and you're going to have experimental treatments because there's really nothing we can do for it." Because they sent it up to Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic hadn't seen it in like 22 years, because the local hospitals had, they're like, "I don't know what this is." So anyway, so I remember going out to my car, and I'm like, "Okay, Lord, you know that my health paradigm doesn't agree with what they're telling me. Like, so you either have to heal me miraculously, or you got to provide a way out some other, way." Because I always knew if I ever got a cancer diagnosis that I would never do, what they suggested, because it just didn't fit my paradigm. And so I already knew that, and I'd already done a lot of research with other people and those kind of things. So I'm like, okay. So I really wasn't scared, and I know that was weird to a lot of people, but I wasn't scared about the cancer, because I'm like, there's a way out, right? There's a way out. So you just have to keep your mindset. So I'm like, thank you for this journey. We're gonna make it good. And so I drove home, and I told my husband and my son, who was 8 at the time, and we're like, okay, well, this is going to be okay. Well, everybody else around me freaked out. So, understandably so. But come to find out, I learned a lot about my faith during that time. I learned a lot about, what God has in store for us and what He wants for us, and that He's not the author of sickness and disease. He's the author of healing. And that's why, He sent Jesus, was for healing, for everything. And so I got a really good education on that in a way that I never had before. And a week later, when I had my PET scan and everything else, like the cancer wasn't anywhere. There was a miraculous, like, there was no cancer anywhere. So when I say I was miraculously healed, I really mean I was miraculously healed. And so He answered that prayer for me, and He opened up doors for me to see amazing practitioners so that I could get to the root causes of why I had the cancer in the first place, right? So there had to be a reason. Like, cancer just doesn't appear. MS just doesn't appear, right? So there's a reason, there's a root cause. And so I was able to dive into that, and I learned so much. I learned, that I was still eating a few things that were probably contributing to inflammation in my body. I learned about, heavy metal toxicity and so many more things. And so that took my health paradigm so much deeper, right? And so then I went back to school. I'm like, well, I have to add this. I have to learn this. And so I went back to school because I'm like, okay, I can help people with, their like brain balancing, but I need to know the rest of this. And so that's, sent me on, the journey this last 17 years, since I was healed. I'm always learning new things, but I always go back to the foundations, because if you miss the foundations, I mean, we can go off on lots of different tangents, but you have to go back to the foundations, address those, get to the root cause. And that's what I do in my practice. That's why I'm doing what I do today. I love every minute of it.
That is so beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that because it's such a fascinating thing when we have a health crisis, how it's a call for us to deepen our faith
Absolutely.
and how that shows up past that. Like I will share something yesterday. So I'm clairaudient, and that's one of the many things I have. And so I get to hear songs regularly. Well, that's been kind of dormant for probably about a decade. And for the past 2 days, I've been getting songs like crazy. And one of them yesterday morning, I woke up to this. I don't even know the song. I don't even know if it exists, but it was, "You are beautiful, you are beautiful, you are beautiful." And I'm waking up to this energy. I'm like, thank you. I'll receive that. Cause it's just, you know, I'm surrendering, and it's constantly surrendering what we think we are into what God wants us to be.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. We're created in his image. So we're beautiful and we're precious because we're created in the image of God. And there's nothing that can change that. And so, you know, that's always a piece of what I do with my, with especially the women that I work with, is like, you are beautiful in his sight, right? And so you're created in his image. And so, you know, you're not unworthy. You have, you know, there's no reason for low self-esteem or to think that you're not enough or, you know, whatever it might be. So, you know, always working on those thought patterns and, you know, how you view yourself, you know, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you speaking? All those things make a difference in who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm. How is, so since you mentioned that, like, so I call myself an armchair nutritionist where I experiment on myself all the time.
Well, yeah.
So, with the neuroplasticity and the neuropathways, yes, there is the mental emotional thing, or there's the emotional component, but there's also the mental component. And so is there a specific protocol you help people with anxiety or depression, or is it like one by one? Is it like an individual thing? And how do you do that?
Yeah, so I do an assessment, a neurological assessment on people. And so we find out there's actually four different areas of the brain that really control most of our emotional responses, right? And so I like to say there's a sunshine part of our brain where we're just like, when that's balanced, we feel like happy and it's just, life is just fun, right? And then there's the joy part of it. So we're like yummy on the inside and we just feel like we can, you know, bubble with joy and life is good. And then there's I can accomplish anything section. You know, like once you're, you know, focused and you really care about what's going on. And then there's the other piece where it's like, you can just take a deep breath and let it like run off your back, right? So stress just kind of melts away. You're just like, you're relaxed, you're calm, you're grounded. And then all that encompasses into, we have to keep our blood sugar balanced. We have to keep our glucose balanced, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we assess those four different parts of the brains with different, you know, symptoms and a lot of feedback and history and those types of things. And then I work with very targeted amino acid therapy. So I take therapeutic doses of specific amino acids. So say if we want to work on the sunshine part of our brain, you know, we're going to work on the serotonin piece in our brain. And I see a lot of women that come in on psychotropic medications, you know, SSRIs, those types of things that it's not actually nourishing their brain because you can't medicate away a nutrient deficiency. So you actually have to give a nutrient to fix a nutrient deficiency. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I do. So we do therapeutic dosing of specific things to boost those sections of the brain. And when those are balanced, guess what happens? You can think clearly. Like you can let stress roll off. You have an appropriate response to stress instead of, you know, freaking out or being OCD or, you know, being angry or, you know, going in your shell. Like life just gets so much better. And then when that happens, then we can work on things from the neck down. Then we can work on digestion and we can work on, you know, toxicity issues and liver and, you know, whatever else might be going on. But we have to balance the brain first so that you have the mindset, the capacity to eat the right foods. Because sometimes we have such intense cravings that we don't have the capacity to say no, or it's just so overwhelming. So if you fix the area of the brain that's overwhelmed with nutrients, and then you're not overwhelmed anymore, then you can do these other five things that need to be done, you know?
I love that. And I love that you're working with amino acids because I geek out about those.
Right. And it's just pieces of protein. It's just food for the brain.
I sell Purine products and they have this one called Super Aminos. And when I was swimming, I could swim through, like before they put the chlorine in the pool, and I was living down in Weed, California, and like the whole thing. But anyways, I would take the amino acids after I swam. The recovery was so fast that I could swim 3 miles a week and not feel it. And without the aminos, I'd do 1 mile and then I couldn't swim for 3 days.
Right. You have, I mean, it's the building blocks to literally everything in your body, from your hair to your skin to your enzymes to your hormones to your toenails, like top of your head to the soles of your feet. Every single thing in your body needs an amino acid. Everything. And so that has to be foundational. That has to be.
I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's such, because I don't know. I'll hear something and I'll go experiment.
Yeah.
I'm really bad. I'm like, I'll just try this one and see what happens. Mm-hmm. But to have a more solid method of approach seems way more beneficial.
Yeah, you get the results quicker that way.
You're not spending hundreds of dollars on amino acids.
But you need
work.
To see exactly what you need so you're not.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do it that way. It just takes a lot more time and money.
Right. And when you get the blends, because I've used blends before, mm-hmm. they're not always the blends that my body needs.
Exactly. And there's some great products out there, you know, great blends. But if you want to really reverse issues, especially when we're talking about brain issues, you've got to do the therapeutic dosing and you have to know exactly what you need.
Right.
The right dose. Otherwise, you're just not going to get the results you want.
Love that.
Yeah.
So what other, methods do you use to help your clients in addition to the functional, medicine? Do you do functional nutrition too?
The nutritional piece where we're working on, maybe it's your thyroid or your gut that we're working on, or adrenal function. I also, do a lot of lab work, to get the answers that we want. So I'll do some functional lab work. I'm pretty picky about what I'll use. We're mm-hmm. always changing dietary stuff, right? So that whole nutritional piece, a good diet won't get you well, but you can't get well without a good diet,
Right.
So food sensitivity testing, all that kind of stuff. So, getting to the root cause. And then I do some very intense cellular, I shouldn't say intense, some very in-depth cellular detox so that we are getting cause so that your cells are happy so they can receive all the good nutrition that you're putting in, right? And we can get all those toxins out. So good things in, bad things out is the goal. And then, I teach different types of therapies depending on the needs of the client.
Cool. I like that because it's really that integrated approach to understanding how our bodies and the, what is the word I'm looking for? Coherence of our bodies affects our ability to connect with our connection with God.
Absolutely.
And how those lower energies like depression or anxiety just cloud us.
Yeah. Yeah.
So much.
They're all negative frequencies. They're all like a low vibration.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to higher the vibration in the body, right? Because everything has a frequency. So mm-hmm. it's not a weird thing. Everything has a frequency. Every emotion has a frequency. Every physical thing has a frequency.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has a frequency. And so we want that frequency to be at the right level in order for things to function optimally. And when you run on a super low functioning body, like when you feel, it's because your frequency is blah. It's like
right.
taking battery in a car and it's running down, right? So it's a frequency. Same thing in our body. When our battery runs down, we're not going to feel good. So we want to charge that back up. And we do that through, nutrition, through, supplementation, through, mindset work, all those types of things.
Have you seen a shift in your relationships in terms of like, as you're diving deeper into your connection with God, because I'm seeing it with me. I see the deeper I go within myself, how relationships shift. And I'm wondering if you're seeing that too.
You mean with people around me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Definitely relationship shift for sure. Yeah. In a positive direction. I think you get more discerning too, is who you would like to spend more time with
mm-hmm.
and what you would like to do. There's a lot of good things to do out there, but that might not be what you're actually called to do for the purpose that you've been given by God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you seen that once you had that diagnosis of cancer through now and the surrender, I'm just trying to get the whole question because it's all intuitive. How have you felt that deeper level of surrender as you've expanded yourself?
So when I had the cancer diagnosis, like I said, I learned a lot about, you know, the plan of God, right? So his mm-hmm. plan is never to harm us. It's always good. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so we live in this world that's fallen and just things happen here because it's just the way the world is. But he's a loving God. So God is love. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Right. And he doesn't change, you know, he doesn't change. Yeah. So once I got a deeper understanding of that and a deeper understanding of who I am in his, you know, I am a victorious woman. I am adopted by him. He sent his son Jesus to die for me, to cleanse me from my sins, to heal me. That's one of the reasons why he died, was to heal me. Mm-hmm. And so when you understand that and you know that he's our heavenly father and he's good all the time and he wants to bless us, your perspective on life completely changes, right? Mm-hmm. And how you interact in your marriage and how you interact with your kids and everyone around you is definitely different. You're not like, oh, you know, my life is just one hard thing after another, you know. Right. Instead, it's like, okay, this is a challenge, but I'm going to take this challenge and I'm going to grow through this challenge, right? Or you're not expecting bad things to happen because it does. I mean, the law of attraction, it's, you know, if you expect good things, you're going to get good things. If you expect bad things, you're going to see bad things. I mean, it's how that works. So yeah, definitely have grown into more, peaceful and content and not expecting other people to provide me happiness and joy.
Mm.
But that comes from my relationship with God and mm-hmm. knowing who I am in him. That's an overflow of that. And then you get to enjoy the people around you without putting these expectations on people that they can't fulfill. Mm-hmm. My husband can't be that perfect person. He can't give me joy, but I can find joy in him.
Right.
Because he's my husband, because I know who I am, you know, who I was, who I'm created to be. So taking off those unrealistic expectations off of other human beings, mm-hmm. I think has been really helpful.
Yeah, that's so huge, because that's the, what I've seen is when you have expectations and then you don't have effective communication,
mm-hmm.
ooh, the conflicts that ensue.
Oh, yeah.
It's yes. Like so painful. I've seen a couple friends do that over the past few months, and I'm like, if you slow down and actually ask the right questions and mm-hmm. listened and then didn't care about the outcome.
Right.
Your life would be a lot calmer.
Right. Yeah.
And for me, calming is like being in a calm state. I was anxious for probably 52 of my 55 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And it finally, I do somatic healing. So I'm present to myself when I feel stuff. And about 3 years ago, I started feeling that tremor of anxiety after having it repressed for so long. And mm-hmm. now it's to the point where I'm just present. Like if on the rare occasions I wake up at 1 o'clock in the morning now, because I feel something, I'm just laying there and being present with it. And then I feel it dissipate. And then I feel like a better connection with God's source.
I think it's acknowledging where it comes from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that you're not meant to have it. And if you know you're not supposed to have it, then you can tell it to go back to hell where it came from. Hey, you don't belong here.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I love that, because like there's so many things, like having our own sovereignty and recognizing that sometimes we pick up as empaths the energy of others,
mm-hmm.
and having that awareness and discernment to be like, nope, that's not mine, is super critical.
Yeah. I mean, you know how you feel when you're around people that are negative. I mean, you kind of start feeling negative. Or if you're around a happy person all the time, you can't be unhappy. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it is just being more discerning about that. Like, that's not me, but we still have the power, because my positivity, because it's a higher vibration can overcome anybody else's negative activity that's going on in them. So I think that's really important to remember. So if somebody's, you know, a naysayer, well, just be more positive than them, you know, and just kind of ignore that negativeness that's going on, because your positivity outweighs all of that.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful thing, because like the lower frequencies really don't know how to exist with the higher frequencies.
No, it drives them out. Light always drives out darkness.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
So in Iowa, how are you seeing things? The phrase I'll use is like, are you seeing shifts in consciousness right now? Are more people open to working with you? Are they open to exploring the deeper connection they have with God at this time? Do you feel that?
Yeah, I really do feel that. I think people are seeking something bigger than themselves, maybe more than they have in the past. I think with so many things going on in our world, you know, that there has to be something bigger. You know, even if they don't understand it fully, I think they're seeking, and I'm excited about that.
Me too. Me too. I'm definitely feeling like, from what I see, is all of those, whenever I watch the news, or I get wind of something going on, I see the shattering of the illusion of separation.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
a little more each time. And it's like, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Because when we come from our hearts, there is no separation.
Right. Yeah. I was even on Joe Rogan the other day, listening to him, and, you know, and he's not a Christian. He's not one that's been, you know, on that path at all, but he's like, you know what, there is something greater than ourselves. And I think we all need Jesus, you know? And I think so many more people are coming to that realization. We do need Jesus. We do need to know who we are in Christ. We do need, because so many people who don't know who they are, is why we have the issue that we're having right now, right? Because they don't know who they were created to be. And things have been allowed into their lives that didn't unwind that for them. I don't know how to really say that better at the moment, but people are really, really hurting. And they need to know that they were created beautiful from the moment that they were conceived. And God doesn't make any mistakes, right? And I think I think that message hopefully is going to get out a little bit more, and that we need to embrace, you know, I work with mainly women, right? So I want to embrace womanhood. I want to embrace femininity and really help women to grow in that, because I don't like to see that dying. I don't like to see that twisted. I don't like to see any of that, because we are our daughters. We are daughters of the Most High God. Right. You know, we're princesses, we're queens, he created us that way. And he wants nothing but the best for us. And I am not willing to sit back and, you know, let that dissipate and be trampled on.
I love that, because it's so important to have that remembrance of, you know, we come down here and we forget who we are.
Yeah.
And to reconnect to that, to have that remembrance and to surrender what we think we're supposed to be to what God has in mind for us. It's so important at this time in consciousness to like get rid of that old doing what others expect of you to following your own path.
And I think it's really clear. Once we understand who we are, you know, what our path is in it, and it might be, you know, you and I are doing something different than the neighbor next door. I mean, it doesn't have to be a specific occupation, right?
Right.
But, we're all called to love. We're all called to worship. We're all called to surrender. And, I mean, God paid a high price for that. I mean, and Jesus paid a high price for that. So, I mean, I never want to take that for granted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. One of the phrases I use says, I grew up Christian, and I have a combination of Christianity, Native American, and quantum physics in my understanding of things. So it's a very confusing combination, but.
You know, I don't think it has to be. And I don't want to interrupt your thought process, but I think quantum physics is very in line with who God is. Mm-hmm. And I think if we understand the Bible to its depth, that quantum physics marries that really well. And I think there's a lot of things in that we have to learn from some of the older traditions and those kind of things that we have pushed out in Christianity. Mm-hmm. I think like Native Americans have a deeper understanding sometimes of creation and the depth and what life was like kind of in the beginning. You know, I don't think we should throw all of that out. I don't think it has to compete with each other or conflict. I think there's some very interesting things in the ancient world that we need to embrace. And I think that they're finding those things that really match what the Bible is saying. And so I never want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I want to be able to discern it all. So,
So the reason I brought that up, why did I bring that up? I think you covered it. It's like drawing on the elements of each. Because when I'm out in nature, I feel God's source energy on such a deeper level than in many other realms.
Yeah, because you're not distracted.
Right.
There's not noise. You know, it's the noise of nature. It's the frequency that God created in the beginning. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's beautiful. That's resonating with, you know, our spirit. That's resonating with who he created us to be. And we allow all of this other noise to come in and distract us from that. So I think it's key when you're out in nature. Like, that's why people are going back to nature in their little tiny houses and, you know, off the grid and, you know, let's go back to going back to the basics. Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love to garden and, you know, and to be outside and those kind of things. So I think that's key. It makes sense. Right? It just makes sense because that's the song of God. I feel like nature is the song of God and that it resonates him. I mean, it tells us in the Bible, like when you look at creation, you can't deny that there's a God.
Right. Right. I completely agree. Last spring I was up in Orcas Island in Washington, and as we're getting closer to the solstice, I'm being drawn to watch the sunset. And it's over in Bellingham Bay, and it's in the archipelago of the, like, I guess 50 plus, I don't know how many islands there are, but it's like this, all these little big islands all the way to Vancouver, BC and beyond. And it took like 2 hours, 2.5 hours for the sun to set from 7 to 9. And I would sit and I would just watch it for the peace and the calm. And I felt like such a deep connection with the divine, with God, because usually I go onto that beach and there was nobody there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, so I'm getting this gift.
Yep.
That's available for anyone.
Yep.
But I happen to be the one seeing it. So those opportunities are all around all the time.
They are. You just have to be intentional and open to them.
Mm-hmm. And slow down.
And seek them out, right? Mm-hmm. We don't seek things out. We're not going to find it.
Yep. I agree. I like to walk up to the neighbors and put my nose in their plants so I can smell the flowers better.
You know.
Excuse me, you have hyacinths. Don't mind me.
You have to smell them in order to appreciate them, right?
Yep. When I was up in Orcas, it was lilac season, and I adore lilacs. And up and down the main drag, there are all these lilac bushes. And so I would literally stop in the middle of a sidewalk and just sniff and sniff and sniff and sniff. And the adults were like, and the little kids would come up and say, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm just sniffing flowers.
I'm just sniffing." Yeah, I mean, we have all five senses for a reason, so you might as well use them.
Yep. Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, it's just so interesting to see how we show up in the world.
Yeah.
And the ripple effects of that. Even in like a grocery store, we don't have to do anything, but it's just our frequency that has ripple effects.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I can tell you story after story of in a grocery store, how that has always happened. You know, people come up and little kids, I was buying groceries for a family one time, and I just felt like I was led to do that. And we're walking along, and she just looks at me. She goes, "You have the most amazing and kindest eyes." You know, it was just so sweet. And she's like, "Do you know Jesus?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, I do." She goes, "I can see it." You know, and it's just so precious and humbling, right?
Yeah.
It's just humbling because you're like, you know, I'm just being obedient, right? Just being obedient and walking out what God wants me to do. So.
Yeah, it's such a shining example for others to see because they want to know what the, I had a, about a month ago, I had somebody, I walked into the local grocery store and there's a man standing outside and I'm just done with a walk. I'm wearing sweats. I'm not pretty, not pretty. And I went in because I wanted to get flowers for my birthday. And he was just struck by my energy. And he literally followed me around in the store and then watched me leave. And I was like, but it was my frequency. And so it, like, it doesn't matter how we dress, what we look like. It's just literally, how are we carrying that love within our hearts that is our source self? And how do we reflect that to others in how we show up in the world?
Yep.
I'm just feeling you. And now you're how beautiful your soul is, because
thank you.
Your gift to others through your own journey is so powerful because so many people are in that state of that undefinable anxiety that is in the mass consciousness right now. And the fact that you're helping them unwind that.
Yeah. I know, because, you know, during the pandemic and stuff, this anxiety went up over 25%, you know, that many people, 25% more people got on anti-anxiety meds. That's not saying other people who didn't get on meds, you know, that number that are still anxious. I mean, I see it all the time. And we've normalized it. And I don't like that. You can't normalize dysfunction. And if you're anxious and depressed, that's not normal. It's common, but it's not normal.
Right.
And, you know, my message is you don't have to live that way. If we fix the deficiency and we get to the root cause of your issue, then that's going to go away.
Yeah.
You don't have to live with that.
I so appreciate that because it's so important to, I mean, that shift, I experienced a very different reality during COVID. I was down in Mount Shasta and I hugged my friends and we had dinners together, which was amazing because it was so rural. And yet there are other pockets that I've been to that experience the trauma.
Traumatic. Very traumatic. Yeah.
Especially if you, I was guided not to get a vaccine.
Yes.
My family pretty much disowned me. And I was like, I'm sorry, this is what my soul is asking me to do. And so now that we're on the other side of it, they're willing to talk to me again. But
you weren't the crazy one now.
Right. I'm not the crazy one. Never was a crazy one. I was just listening to my soul. And that division, because I know in Oregon, the marketing was, and I haven't really talked about this before, I don't know why it's coming through. The marketing was, if you don't wear a mask, you're selfish. And I was thinking to myself, if I don't wear a mask, I'm breathing.
Yeah.
But that was selfish in the narrative here. So that's, I was literally kicked out of Portland, Oregon and sent to Mount Shasta area for 3 years. And so coming out, not traumatized by it, but coming back into a region where the PTSD is unfolding.
Yeah, it's real.
It's really fast. I've seen despair. I've seen depression. I've seen hopelessness. And I've seen a lot of poverty where I am right now. And it's all interrelated.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we didn't have so much of that here in Iowa because we didn't have, you know, the strict lockdowns and stuff like that, but people still got the toxic protein shot. And, you know, I'm seeing as a practitioner the ramifications of that in so many people, you know, and, you know, my practice is relatively small because I'm really picky who I work with and those kind of things. But just in the last 2 weeks, I've had three new people, all three of them have been damaged, you know, by the toxic protein shot. And I say that just because I don't want you to get shut down on YouTube or whatever, but yeah, no problem. So I just call it the toxic protein. And, you know, they really regret, you know, having done that now, but, you know, the narrative was, even though we were in an area where it wasn't, you know, super traumatizing, that, you know, this is just what you do. This is just what you do to protect everybody around you, you know, all those kind of things. And a lot of anxiety has come out of that, which, you know, this is why this message is so important, because we've normalized, you know, all of that dysfunction that we've had the last few years, right? Because if we've tried to make it, this is just the way society is now. And it's not, it's dysfunctional. We can't normalize dysfunction. And so we need to retract and get back out of it.
Oh, I got chills with that. Yeah,
we have
I
the power to do that, right? We have the power to do that. We have the power to reverse it. You know, some of these people are really, really, really sick. And you know, we're going to do all we can to help them. Some of those, you know, physical things aren't reversible, but but there's a lot of things that are. So
Do the aminos help with
the toxic protein damage?
Yeah,
they do actually.
Okay.
Because remember, everything in your body needs an amino acid to build. So if we don't have the pieces to build things and repair things, so it's really important. It's always foundational in everything.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I love that. I know in some instances, if it's the source self of somebody else coming in through me during a session and it's asked of me to facilitate it, there is a piece in Body Talk where a vaccine can be deactivated. That has nothing to do with me.
Right.
It's like, I do not choose that at all. That's literally something that comes through me. And to be able to support the temple after the distortion is just like, I'm feeling that's, as we see things unfold, more and more of that is going to be needed.
Because there's a lot of emotional stuff that goes on with that too. It's not just the physical piece of it.
Right.
So it's definitely emotional and spiritual.
Because
let's just really be honest. You know, we're talking about, you know, spiritual things. It was straight from the pit of hell, right? And so we just need to send it all back there.
I completely agree with it. I felt when I was still in Oregon and it was first rolling out, I actually heard Deutschland über alles. And I was like, are we experiencing World War II again? And the answer was yes.
Yeah.
Except we had better propaganda. And I knew when I felt into that, oh, I'm getting so many chills. It was Joseph Goebbels' diaries. And the effectiveness of, like, they did a nation back in the 1940s. We did it globally in 2020. And it felt so dark and heavy. And so filled with a need to shut us down. And it just, like, everything in my soul said, no, 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 no.
Yeah.
And it was one of the reasons I ended a 16-year relationship, because my partner demanded that I did it. Like, you don't understand. My soul is saying no, and I do not listen. I do not ignore my soul.
Right.
And so it became a big point of contention. And then because this is so, I'm like, why am I saying this? So because he took that, I actually became very unattracted to him. Because of the energy of it. And I was like, wow, this is so fascinating that I'm experiencing this disconnect on such a, because his frequency lowered.
Right.
And that's when I started having awareness of, like, oh, wait a minute, frequency is a thing in interrelations. And so, like, the people I hung out with down in Mount Shasta, none of us None of us had a shot. And so when I came back up to Oregon, it was really interesting to see the people that I know who have had one and to see who had the different types and their frequencies and tuning into them and seeing, okay, well, this one is at this frequency. This one's at this frequency. Do I want to spend time with the one that's at this at this frequency versus this one? And so it's really shifted my ability to interrelate.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, it's been really fascinating and really interesting.
You're like, huh.
Like, okay, sir, do you want me to talk about this one? All right. Because it feels like it's like, I don't know. I know the different toxic proteins from different purveyors. There
yes.
we go. Have different frequencies.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm praying that what I read isn't as valid as I sense it is.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Are you able to help people online or is it all in person?
No, most of my practice is virtual.
Okay. So then I'm going to ask this question. How do people find you?
Right. You can go to lauriehammer.com. And you can contact me there, or you can contact me on Instagram, Lori Hammer, the Calm Mom.
Awesome.
Yes. So those are the two easiest places to send me a message.
Awesome. Yeah.
And I do offer a free phone call for people who, you know, want to ask me a few questions before they, you know, sign up for an appointment or anything. So I feel like, you know, you can get to know each other a little bit that way.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. All right. I want to thank you so much for the work you're doing in the world.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a lot of fun and I love every minute.
And being the beautiful light that you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for having me on. This has been great.
You're so very, very welcome. Thank you.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go. And let it flow.